rise and salute the brave men who make America safe for weird junk food, porn, and crappy reality TV. Here they are, Corey and Joel.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Corey and Joel with you. How's it going, everybody?
You've got the right show.
Yeah. Are you saying there's a problem with the music today?
A little bit.
This is a reissued classic.
Yeah, I know.
1977. Billy Joel's The Stranger. There you go. Good help.
It's a little bit of Billy Joel. Is that all you
get for your money? Yeah, if you're not into Billy Joel, I understand why, but he was good in this era. So
I never thought the day would come where we came on the Corey and Joel radio show.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right.
Corey's going to be a dramatic pause there. It's a good album,
right,
and it's reissued. And
please send your letters directly to Joel at joelthecomic.com.
Well, you can bring in some music selections one day.
I we'll play those. You know that a shitstorm is a brewing.
It's a classic album.
You don't have to get your shitstorm Doppler out and
watch the
shitstorm clouds brewing. No, we're going to get comments on
the message. Well, whatever. So what?
I mean, Joseph Zhu will love it because
Joseph Zhu is
he's
a
like
genius.
Bizarro Superman.
And he loves everything.
Me hate Superman. Me hug him the most. You know, like anything that's upside down is right for him.
No, but he's a guy who seems to hate everything we do on this show.
Then he goes to that goddamn douchey Rothbury festival.
Right. He's a guy who
and hangs out in a tent while he waits for his lord and master fucking John Mayer to go on stage.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who, I mean, look, I appreciate anyone who's a fan of the show, and, you know, Joe participates in the forum, which is nice of him, but it's like, you know, there's a lot of, sometimes the only time you hear from the fans is when they're unhappy about things. Yeah. You know, like, when have you, like, if you buy something, say, a product, mm-hmm. like, I bought a new computer, and I had a bad DVD drive, well, I had to call HP and yell at him.
Right.
Okay, and it was a guy in Pakistan who fucking wasted 90 minutes of
Thank
my life.
Thank you, Mr. Fragamoni.
Yes. I will take control of your computer
Mr.
now.
Mr. Fragamoni.
Did I say talk about this on the show? I don't know if I did. They take control of your computer?
That is, yes. Well, we can do that at any time.
Yeah, and I'm like, boy, if he clicks on the wrong thing, look out. You know?
No, we are locked. No, Skynet is a neural net. Yes. That processor, that CPU, it is a thinking computer, and I can take control of you at any time.
But I'm not going to call HP and go, you know, this is a wonderful computer, Sanji. I just wanted to tell you guys that. You never hear that. So when
you're listening to the
fans,
Sanjay and Joel radio show.
Exactly.
Welcome back. Today we will talk about camel races and cardamom and cumin powder, which are very important.
I think the future you will hear of Sanjay is like, yes, Mr. Tenney, it is wonderful to be co-host of Otis.
You know what?
Today.
I think he should get that. That's what John should do.
Yes. There is, since people have been talking about it in the forum, John Tenney, who you remember from being on the show a couple times, is apparently now having problems with a co-host where his co-host has, I think, abandoned his show.
Sad.
And
sad.
He needs to find somebody new. But
it's not funny. In fact, it's pretty freaking unfunny.
And I like John. And
no,
I like
John's a friend of the show and a good friend of mine.
I like John. And
20
like
years, so go check out The Oddest.
Yes, The Oddest.
That is the name of the show.
And we've plugged that. But we did it. When he came in, we called it The Intervention, and we did it. Your podcast sucks.
We were goofing.
We were goofing.
Then John took it personally and took some shots at
But I hang out with John privately. So not privately, but, you know, we hang out.
Sometimes. We get together and we share our affection for vintage stamps.
I mean, no. Sometimes we come,
we
get together,
each other's
and
eyes lovingly.
We get together, and you know, we hang out, and we don't even talk about our shows.
We just get down and dirty.
I'll tell you what we did. We went and sang karaoke, me and John.
For real, though?
Yeah. Well, it was after the Club Bar comedy show. We went out and sang karaoke.
John likes a little bit of karaoke.
John sang Sinatra, and I sang I sang "Get Back" by the Beatles, and
I hate karaoke.
Do you?
With a violent passion.
It's fun if you got like...
Because a lot of girls have made me try and go to karaoke over the years. Not a lot, but a handful.
Yeah.
And it's annoying.
Well, I just, you know, if you go with a bunch of people and everyone does it, it's fun. But to just go by yourself and do it, or, you know, it's not the most
you know what? It's
thing.
For people who can't entertain right. themselves normally.
Yeah.
You know, you and I
sure
can find entertainment. People are always like, I'm bored. I'm bored. Like, I don't know. Go put your balls on a kid's head at the mall.
Yeah.
You know, go do, you know, find something.
I did that.
Well,
I did
maybe,
that on
maybe
Tuesday.
Not that. Yeah. Maybe let me
know?
Not advocate that, because if you have priors, you could end up in a cell next to Scooter. Yeah. But
okay.
It's a little inside.
A little inside.
Well, that's what Scooter thought too.
Oh, anyhow,
he's going to get a little
inside.
You know,
folks.
Hi-yo! Wah, wah, wah.
I like baggage stuff. You want to call it by its name? That's strictly for.
Can I ask you a question that has nothing to do with what we're
sure.
talking about? Did you just break the mic stand?
I don't know what happened to the mic.
But it's broken now. I'm looking at it and I'm going, "That's a broken mic stand. That was fine a minute ago, and you broke because I set it up and it was fine." Huh. And you broke it. That, no, am I right or wrong?
I guess that it's, you know, it's this cheap fucking plastic.
I don't know that's how you broke the, we have another one over there.
Yeah, I don't know what this has to do with anything, though.
What, that adjustment?
Yeah, these pieces are moving independently of each other.
Well, they are now because they used to move as one big piece, and now they're two pieces. And now the whole mic is spinning around on you. Well, see, I have another microphone with that same stand that is broken. Now, I still have this stand. So we still have, So please, folks, if you can, donate to the lunch fund, CoreyandJoelRadio.com.
I don't even know what fucking broke.
Here's the thing with you, is when stuff isn't tight with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, make your jokes now. But when stuff isn't tight, with as far as the mic stand goes, you over-tighten stuff. And then
I have gorilla paws.
You do.
You have big, powerful
gorilla
hands.
You have to
know
that these have limits. And really what it is that it's the silver piece that needed to be tightened and not that black piece. And actually, that star thing, that little that thing is supposed to be tightened. So I don't know. But see, now you've got a loose mic stand for the rest of the show.
Well, fuck it.
And I mean, we can put some.
It's all right. I can.
You
do
can
that.
Do that.
Rock it around.
There's your fix.
No, I don't want.
There's your fix.
I want
right
it loose.
There. I threw you some duct tape. Okay.
I like it loose.
Speaking of the show, and speaking of
anyway, what I was going to say about karaoke.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can get back
on the
to that
oddest. John was talking about with Roger, who's a frequent forum poster.
Yeah.
That Roger has a dream of doing Jesus Christ Superstar karaoke.
Well,
I'd like a part in that. I would.
You would sing in that?
I would be King Herod. He only
what are
has
the
one
big
song.
Jesus Christ Superstar songs? Because I know there's some that were like.
Well, there's Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right. Okay.
Which is, you know.
But weren't there some that became popular on their own?
Somewhat,
of?
A little bit. There's one Mary Magdalene sings that everything's all right. Yes, everything's fine. Anyway.
Because sometimes you don't know what's from a Broadway play. Like
that
songs
show
that
was
sort
very
of...
specifically about like Jesus, the songs didn't really translate. But
okay, because I was going to mention about the lunch fund, and I'm saying, hey, if you can give us a couple of bucks, donate to the lunch fund. Because last week we put up a new feature on the show, and that it's a feature that will continue.
Yeah,
is we made a little video for YouTube, so you guys can watch us now.
Yeah, because what people need is more fat guys on the internet.
Well,
more fat guys talking about junk food.
Well, that's what we did. But we have new features coming up as
but
well.
We do it with that insightful Corey and Joel magic that you've come to enjoy.
People have demanded to see us, and they want to see more of how the show is made.
Who demanded to see us?
One guy, I think, sent an email. I don't think it was intended for us, but it came to the inbox.
No, it's funny you should say that, because on Tyra Banks this morning, which I sometimes have to watch before the girlfriend goes to work.
Yeah.
You know, she wakes up and she's watching, whatever, we're eating breakfast. They had, like, mismatched couples.
Okay.
And they had, like, you know, a dwarf that was with the chick. And, you know, one guy was in love with his hooker. That was great. But then they had a giant fat guy who was gay.
Oh.
And the muscle man that was into him.
Oh.
He was just like, you know, making love to a bigger boy is just wonderful. He's just curly and he's got curves and he's soft and gentle. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
That was actually one of the gayer things ever. Like, I'm kind of, you know, we go to Pride Fest. I have gay friends.
Right.
Some of my best friends are gay. No, but I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I feel fairly comfortable with homosexuality. Not so much. Then I suddenly turned into Jesse Helms. My nuts puckered up a little bit when I'm seeing a muscle-bound guy and a 400-pound dude that are all like,
yeah. Watch.
I love to make love to this.
You don't
want to
watch two guys make out on daytime TV.
I don't want to watch
as much as you're tolerant of the gay.
Yeah,
lifestyle.
I don't want to watch two good-looking guys make out. I certainly don't want to watch a big, giant, fat
exactly.
gay guy make out.
I agree with you on that. But if I can get back to the whole lunch fund thing, the reason we even had a YouTube video was because a guy I bought. It's ironic how this worked, but One of our big fans named Cam donated some money recently. So, Cam, thank you. And with Cam's money, what did we buy?
Weed.
We did that too. Oh. No, we bought a cam with Cam's money.
Oh, it's ironical.
Even. It's ironic, isn't it? I did a big, you see, I brought it all back to
isn't
Cam.
Isn't it ironic?
So anyway, Cam, we bought a Logitech Pro 9000 webcam with that, which will give us the ability, it combined with my new computer,
yeah,
will give us the ability to do YouTube videos and perhaps, and we haven't even really discussed this, but... Yeah. Perhaps it will come a day when you will actually get to watch the entire show live.
Well,
in your
we'll
privacy
save that
of your
for a special
room.
Time when
I think we'll save that for when Nadia is bent over and Sherry Brooklyn's inserting a anal thermometer and something like mm-hmm. that. That's the show that we'll probably broadcast.
I wish my mama and daddy was here.
That would be
a beautiful moment.
That would be a
I think the next Katie Payne show will be a
Hey, Katie Jean.
Katie Jean can be on. And
she's been threatening to come back.
Katie,
and she's
I ran
back.
Into Katie with like another hot model friend of hers in Royal Oak in little sundresses.
Oh.
And I had the girlfriend. I was anchored.
Sure.
I was unlocked. I had the fucking tether on my leg. And I'm just like, hey, are you going to come on the show or what?
Yeah, what'd she say?
Summer's a wasting.
Well, she's
we're like midway
to do a summer.
Through summer, and I'm like, I need some bathing suit reviews. I need to, my fans, our listeners and viewers need a swimsuit review.
That would be good, and that would be perfect to put on video in
the
some
very
form.
First hot tub edition of the Corey and Joel Radio.
Here's the thing that we can do: we go out on the deck.
Because you want to see us in? A
I
hot
think
tub.
You and I just do the show on the deck like we normally do, but in the background there'll just be a bunch of chicks cavorting in the hot tub. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds like people who have money and an actual body. That sounds like a Howard Stern
It would
show,
be like that. It would be like, a real estate seminar, and then there'd just be mm-hmm. hot chicks comporting.
Hey, can I get a little more in the monitor, please?
You need a little monitor?
A little more monitor.
There you go. How's that?
Yeah, it's a little better.
A little better? Okay.
A little more sibilance.
Okay. So, So anyway, thank you to Cam for donating to us. And
take his example in these tough economic times.
Yeah.
Folks, we're not going to lie to you. Detroit is a sinking cesspool. Detroit's been a shithole for decades, but it was always a shithole that had a firm backbone of money.
Yeah.
The auto money just rolled in.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize about Detroit, they're always like, oh, Detroit's a shithole. And it is. Believe
right.
me. South of 8 Mile, they can drop the H-bomb on at any time now. But Detroit is a metro area, and much like Atlanta and L.A., it goes on forever.
Yeah.
They go by mile roads. Yeah. They're building shit out on like 32 Mile.
Yes, road. They're 30 Mile. Yeah,
like the downtown is 0 Mile.
Yeah,
it like starts there.
Well, there is almost no break now between Detroit and Flint as far as suburbia.
It just goes.
It really
goes,
almost goes.
Goes
on to where now it gets a little more spread out as you get further. But yeah, it's almost.
But white people are moving further and further north.
Yes.
The suburbs I grew up in as a kid, Huntington Woods is still had the tribe.
Yeah.
The tribe will not back down.
Well,
Jews hold on to their own.
Yeah.
They shit. But, anyway. It's white people are going into places like Clinton Township and Waterford.
Well, they're leaving Clinton Township. They're going out to,
Romeo. Yeah, they're going to
like
crazy
that.
Far northern places.
Washington Township.
Brandon Township.
Yeah.
From the far west and north sides, and they just keep spreading and spreading.
But Detroit was a boom town.
Sal
moved to Brighton. I know, Sal.
Sal, the blood, the lifeblood of Livonia. Sal, a Livonia lifer,
King
moved
of the
out
West
to
Side,
Brighton.
Sal D'Amelio.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right, enough about that. Let's go into here's what we're going to do today because, it's so much crap on TV this summer. In fact, I was just telling Corey before, there's 11 new shows or shows mm-hmm. that have returned specifically for the summer season
yes.
that I have watched and have reviews of. So we can do those if you'd like. It's 11 shows.
My eyeballs are tired. I've watched 6 movies in like like 2 days.
You've watched a lot of movies and you can
like writing reviews and I'm going to have to remember stuff. I just like
you God forbid might have to take a note when you send those movie screenings.
I know. I saw this movie yesterday with Luke Wilson or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Where Jesus appears on Luke Wilson's wall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to have to remember what that was about. It was, unbelievable.
Well, thankfully, there's, all kinds of electronic press kits and things you can get now. And
yeah, what annoys me, though?
You can read those.
The petty squabbles of a low-paid film critic. They used to hand me a press release, a printout.
Sure.
And I missed that little booklet. You never get that anymore.
Who's not? Somebody wants in the studio. Seriously, can you go see who that is? I think that's the case. Okay, so anyway, lots of movies, lots of TV this summer, and...
It used to be the summer was a break.
Yeah.
Used to be it was reruns and nothing going on in the summer, and you could go outside and live your life. But now it's a ceaseless onslaught of new entertainment production.
You want me to just read?
And when you're someone like, when you're someone like me who I write about stuff, I now have a blog on Metro Times that I got to fill with crap a couple times a week.
Yeah.
You know, there's just too much junk.
There's so much.
Summer's a big movie season.
Right.
Used to be that TV died
and
everybody went to the movies in the summer.
Yeah.
But now you got both.
Well, I think with TV, they're just going, look, if we don't make these expensive shows, we'll make these cheap shows.
Yeah.
And, we'll still have better ratings with a cheap new show than a repeat of an expensive show. Isn't that the theory?
Yeah, but what's the rerun costing them? They have residuals, I guess, they have
to
pay.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I just think the ratings are better, therefore the ad rates are higher. Maybe?
You got to think, though, a rerun is cheaper than creating and producing a whole new show.
So next week, what we'll do...
Wipeout looks like it costs about 75
cents. You want to start with Wipeout? Because that's one of my 11 shows on the list. And I don't think we'll even get to all of these, but Wipeout...
I got a couple more that I'm sure you're not
Wipeout's the biggest
watching.
Hit, though. I think that is the biggest new hit. There's America's Got Talent and stuff that I'm not watching, but...
And when people say America's falling into the toilet, Wipeout is an example.
Okay, but here's my thing, and I'm just going to say this as a blanket, not specifically about Wipeout or any other specific show. Look, I'm fine with, if the reality show is fake or, hey, they're really all actors and they're not really, house painters from the Midwest, and they're really just L.A. wannabe actors, and they're all sitting in the Big Brother house. There is something to me that is still, at its root, a little more real than a guy pretending he's a police officer who's also a vampire. And I mean, again, if you want to dump on reality shows for being fake,
what was that show called? Moonlight? What was that
something
called?
You watched it, not me.
I watched like a pilot.
But there's always one of those. I mean, they're advertising The Mentalist coming on. He's a guy. He solves crimes, but he's also like a math genius.
Yeah, I have this great book called Unsold TV Pilots.
Yeah,
which is mostly from the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Right,
and it's chock full of that.
Right,
every season they crank out four pilots about a man who can see into the future and solves crimes.
Right.
There's The Mentalist is great because it's the same premise over and over.
But even the shows that make it, have dumb premises as well.
Well, I'll tell you what. I would rather watch a show with a vampire cop in it than another CSI.
Okay, yeah.
That I don't understand.
Right.
The fascination with, the fucking CSI.
Yeah.
The one CSI was one thing. But now we have CSI New York, CSI Miami, CSI Tucson, CSI Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, CSI Roseville.
You know what I saw? I saw CSI Ferndale.
We really did. Yeah.
We saw cops, I think.
Dude.
But anyway, but here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, if some shows are done well, but at the end of the day, Sopranos is a bunch of guys pretending they're mobsters. And so don't tell me that, reality is fake because it's all fake at the end of the day. And it's all just entertainment, and it all gets boiled down to that.
Yes, but see, here's the difference. Here's the primary difference. It fascinates me, your inability to watch scripted drama. Because
it's not an inability. I don't think it's very good. That's my problem.
Well, but have you watched Mad Men?
No.
That's a terrific show.
I'm sure it is.
That
I'm
is
not
a grade A,
again, I don't,
literate, well-acted, well-directed, fine piece of television.
I'm not insulting Mad Men.
No.
I haven't seen Mad Men.
I know.
I'm not going to watch Mad Men in all likelihood, but it doesn't mean that it sucks.
No.
That's not my point. My point is, what do I choose to watch? I don't choose to watch Mad Men.
Yeah, all right.
But it's not that Mad Men
but
is
you're
bad.
You're putting reality on an equal equivalent footing with...
No, my point is that everything has to be entertaining at the end of the
people
day.
People watch fucking House, and I don't get it.
Okay. Well, yeah.
What's with House?
Well, I mean, let me get another parable just to say the difference between UFC is real.
Yeah.
WWE is fake.
Sure.
You would think that the real product, which is basically two guys fighting, you'd think two guys fighting for real would be more popular than two guys fighting for pretend.
It's on its way.
Well, two guys fighting for real has, you know, or, you know. But basically, if two guys fighting for fake is more entertaining than two guys fighting for real, more people will watch the more entertaining of the two.
Yeah.
So my point is that you can't sit there and say that, you know, this is better or that is better just based on a value judgment of, well, it's reality and all these people are assholes. Because, you know, I'm sure William Peterson is an asshole, and I'm sure we know we know James Gandolfini is an asshole, but and Catherine Hagel's an asshole.
All right, here's the difference. There are maybe two. Okay, there's a couple shows like 30 Days and Bullshit, which have higher objectives. Those are like documentary comedy shows, okay. Right?
Right.
The typical objective of a reality show is to see some girls with some boobies pull each other's hair.
But that is there not an entertainment value in that?
Yeah, but sometimes you're so down on scripted drama. Those shows sometimes have what drama traditionally has, what good comedy traditionally has, an attempt to be something stimulating to the mind, and that's a form of entertainment.
I understand that. There's and I'm
nothing.
Not, again, and I
Wipeout stimulates nothing.
I understand that.
But
and I don't,
my small fucking
colon. I don't
colon.
Like Wipeout because. Yeah. But again, it comes down to some of those shows are done well. Like Wipeout is not done well. I Survived a Japanese Game Show is a well-made show.
Yeah.
It's not, look, it's not trying to be high art, but it's well-made within
that show
what
really
it is.
Baffles me because they spend a lot of time to give it an atmosphere and a vibe that you're just like, but at the end of the day, they just want to watch people get covered in pudding.
Ow.
And roll down. You know what I mean? It's a, but it's, that's what it's like, watch a mannequin in a fly paper suit to jump on the wall.
I love it.
I know, but it could be about Japanese culture and all kinds of
weird
things.
Well, they go on a road trip during the show.
What I love on that show is they get the hill jackiest, like, I done never done saw a big building before. Like, retard.
It was like one guy.
There's that one
on
dumb
there.
Hick.
It was one guy.
And they put him
in
Tokyo
episode.
And his brain explodes.
It was one guy. Everybody else was like kind of a hipster young person for the most part on there.
Well, you know what? Also,
and they threw a brother in there who is... The Japanese are convinced has superpowers.
Oh, God.
Donnell Superman!
Kingu Kongu! No, seriously, a black man in Japan.
Have you seen the recent episodes? Because he's been killing people on that show. This Donnell, the black guy.
No, but they, I know
and
they...
I survived the Japanese game show.
Let me... I'm gonna... Here's a word to the wise. To any and all... Not that there are many. But to any and all black people that are in this audience. Right?
Wait, you're saying any black guy with an iPod listening to a...
No, I mean, we have friends of the show.
We do, yeah.
Sure. They might listen sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to recommend this. This is a career path choice for Chill or Mike Lundy, for sure. If you're a black man, go take a Japanese class.
Really, yeah.
Say, konnichiwa, watashi wa, chill desu. They will piss themselves with glee and throw money. Right. Brakaman!
Yeah.
Great, powerful Brakaman! Spill! Oh, God.
Yeah, if you're over, like, 6'2".
I swear to God, if Obama goes to Japan, they might just the fucking shit might
see,
blow
I
up.
Think, and God...
They love the black people. Over there. It's like watching an exotic bird to them. It's like going to the zoo and seeing like a red panda.
But here's what I will say, noticing Japanese culture, and this is a lot of mixed martial arts and pro wrestling in there too. And again, I'm not being...
Babu Sapu! Babu Sapu!
Bob Sapp's a perfect example of this. Quentin Rampage Jackson was big over there.
Yeah.
I believe that, and this is not me being racist... I believe being blacker helps in Japan. In America, sometimes being like Obama is helped by not being completely and totally black.
He's not Wesley Snipes black,
and that's good for him. But I think in Japan, the darker you are, the better.
Oh, God, oh yeah, you got to be midnight chocolate black.
I think that helps.
The black is a better athlete to begin with because he's been bred to be that way because of his high thighs and big thighs that goes up into his back, and they can jump higher and run faster
because
of their bigger thighs.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I feel that
the
in Japan,
high thighs and the big thighs
they,
go in the back.
They really put a reverence on the black man.
I have seen, literally I've seen like a manga, a comic strip. There was, you know, they always have, in these, they put out these big like phone book sized books that come out like every 2 weeks. The Japanese are crazy over there.
They're manga, they're comic
books. Yeah, like there's something that comes out every week and they alternate, but even faster than American comics.
Yeah.
And they're like a big phone book. So there's like 7 pages of a story.
Yeah.
There's like 10 stories, 15 stories. Okay. One of them was a basketball one time. I'm looking. And, you know, it's a bunch of Japanese guys with, like, straight hair playing basketball.
All right.
And the one black guy has these giant, like Tubin, in the video game, inflatable tire lips. Do you remember the game Tubin?
Tubin, yeah. But
he's got big inflatable tubes for lips. Like, they're still drawing, like, picking any, like, step and fetch.
They kind of are, yeah.
They don't understand black people. They're, like, from a foreign...
Well, yeah.
They're from a distant star somewhere where they make... Braca Negro Man, the powerful!
Yeah, well, the story is when Rampage Jackson...
oh, God.
When he showed up in Pride, they booked him to fight Kazushi Sakuraba, who was their Japanese superhero at the time, because he had beaten the Gracies.
Who's 5'7".
No, he's bigger than that, but he's... You know, they booked him originally to come in and be an opponent, and Quentin Jackson is a guy who had a collegiate wrestling experience in America and was actually, like, a high-level athlete on an NCAA level. But when they booked him to come in, they would not give anybody his credentials. They wanted to pretend like they went and they found a guy in the hood. And that's the way the Japanese press showed that. They literally went to, like, South Central and found a guy.
We have found a man in
and
ghetto.
You know how he comes out with the big chain? Mm-hmm. Like, they just found the street fighter in.
If he can read a line at all, if he can act in any way, Marvel has a blaxploitation character who you played in the Marvel Alliance.
Yeah.
Luke Cage. He's got a chain.
Oh, so you're saying Rampage
should
play
that would
role?
Be the movie for him.
Well, Rampage is apparently in talks to be Mr. T in the A-Team movie.
Oh, well, that's a good
movie.
Or B.A.
Baracus,
in
that movie.
Yeah.
But, of course, Quentin Rampage Jackson, you've probably all read about it by now, went on. Did you hear about that? He drove his big truck.
This goes back all the way to the Civil War.
I'm going to stop you.
When during the slave trading.
He went crazy after he got beat the other day.
The slave owner
drove through Newport Beach running over pedestrians.
To his big woman.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm boiling it down. Sorry, Jimmy, I got to cut you off. But
big what?
No, I'm saying, like, you know, he went on a literal rampage. So he, like, lived up to his nickname.
Well, sure.
And he was, like, arrested at gunpoint.
Look,
and
I love when people go with these football players and with these UFC guys, you know, these MMA guys. All, what you do is you take a guy, and from the time he's about 10, 8 or 9, when do they start Pee Wee football? Like 8?
You start
a little later.
You would start football around the age of 11 or so.
I was taking judo when I was like 12 or something, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, from that time till the time they're like 35, you just train them to just beat the living shit out of things.
Yeah.
And to just murder people and just crush them and... Enziguri and choke them out, and football you just tackle. And then when they go out in this society and they break some shit down and they get all smash, we're like stunned by this every time.
His thing, I think everyone's relating it to, he lost, he was the champion. And
no, the thing is,
Forrest Griffin,
this guy spent 20 years punching people in the head.
No, they're saying the story on him is that, you know, it's sometimes you hear this when guys retire, they go off the deep end.
Mm.
And in his case, you know, he lost a very high-profile MMA match. And, you know, because we saw him knock the shit out of Chuck Liddell.
Yeah.
And then he got beat by the guy who won the Ultimate Fighter reality show. And that might have really hurt his ego. It's great. If you see that TMZ had the pictures, he's driving a truck with a big picture of himself on the side.
Well, really?
So the cops are calling 911 going, well, like, who? And they're like, it's Quentin Rampage Jackson's truck. And the cops are like, how do you know it's Quentin Rampage Jackson? They're like, well, there's a giant picture of him on the side of the truck.
The other thing. I forgot. You know, not only do you train a guy to, like, work his body every day and beat people up, you also, every time he throws a punch, applaud like he took his first poopy. You know, you're like mommy and daddy. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Every time he punches the shit out of somebody, you clap and applaud. And then the guy puts a picture of himself on his, you know,
his SUV. Yeah, he has a big truck with a picture of himself on it. Now, do you want to review any of these? I mean, Wipeout. Let me just give a quick review of Wipeout. It's not very good. Look, if you want to watch a guy fall down, Wipeout's got an hour of that for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, they've basically taken the Ninja Warrior, Unbeatable Banzuke, Sasuke with the original Japanese show method, and made it where you're a fat American who can fall down 10 times and still finish the course.
Yeah.
Which is, that's really the fatal flaw of the show. Do you agree?
It sucks a dong. What I hate about it is that in Ninja Warrior, they make the courses very difficult, but there's always about 2-3 guys that get through it.
Uh-huh.
You know, Kane Kishogi, son of the great Sho Kishogi.
He was one of the guys.
Well, he's like a stuntman.
Okay, yeah.
He was in the Power Rangers at one point. But, like, you know, the guy's actually skilled and trained to be a high-level stuntman.
Sure.
he could like get through the course. And then like this crab fisherman guy got through the course. But there's only like three guys again.
You have to be a super high level athlete.
Yeah, and then to get to the very last stage, because there's always like three, four stages, they're doing insane stuff with hand walking.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And so it's impressive to see the one guy that can get through. You like to see guys fall on their face. With Wipeout, there's stuff that no one can do.
Yeah. There's it's like impossible stuff.
These big bouncing balls that they have, no one has ever done them. And they can't, they're not, you
can't. They weren't made to be done. They were made to fall and.
They're made for you to fall and go kapoopy. And that's what's wrong with America. Japan, it's the fighting.
I agree with you.
It's the fighting spirit of the Ninja Warrior. There's an actual contest you're watching to see if a guy can do.
Yeah.
On Wipeout, it's you're watching to see a guy get hit in the balls. And that's what America's about.
It's sort of like, it's America's funniest videos, but we're just going to record the videos. It's, you know, we're just going to set up a way to hit a guy in the nuts.
You know what it is? In Japan, it's, can this guy compete this really tough obstacle course? And does he have the fighting spirit? In America, it's, how much of a whore is this person that they will degrade themselves by getting hit in the nuts and falling into mud so that we can reward them with money? That's what's wrong with America.
Well, don't you think if you put up a TV camera and said, we hit you in the nuts and you'd be on ABC,
how
there'd
much
be a
offering?
Line around the block.
I know.
But even just to be on TV, there'd be a line around the block.
Sure.
You know? Like, we're going to hit you in the nuts and
look,
put it on TV.
I did the sing-along Sound of Music because the quote was the appropriate number for me. I know some people dress up like a clown and rap because it's the appropriate number for them.
Well,
people will degrade themselves for a lot of things.
It's not about degrade. I mean, it's about fame. I mean, people want to be famous. They want to be known. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you're a guy who...
No,
people will go on TV and do this.
This is what the summer needed.
I know.
Was the next best thing, season two. But we didn't get that.
And I, we have five children.
That's a 25-year-old white guy
and
with frosted tips doing a Cosby impression.
To the Jell-O pudding.
What I like about that is the guy is doing an impression of Eddie Murphy doing an impression of Bill Cosby. That's what he's doing.
Well, that's what a lot of people do. When people do, you know,
right?
People do Bush. They're doing, you know, Dana Carvey doing Bush. Or
I mean, Bush Senior.
Bush Senior. Yeah.
Bush him the current Bush is actually kind of easy to do.
Yeah.
Or at least a lot of guys are doing it.
Well, Frank Caliendo does a famous Bush. All right.
Famous Bush.
Famous Bush on the
this
next
week's
Corey
episode of Corey and Joel.
So, all right. So what? How many?
We had a friend that I haven't seen in a long time. It was a mutual friend that everybody would do an impression of him that sounded nothing like him, but it became the accepted impression of him.
Hey, who are you talking about?
No, not that guy.
That's not that guy.
No, but that's actually but that guy actually sounded like that.
Really? There's a guy. Do I know the guy?
No. It's an old friend of ours from I lived in Ferndale.
Sure.
Yeah, but we don't go, dip, we talk like that.
Yeah. Dip.
He didn't sound like that at all. Yeah. But just everybody, you knew that was what you were doing, Pete.
Right.
It didn't sound like that at all.
They do that on the Stern Show a lot. Like Scott the Engineer comes in and was like, oh, it's Scott.
Yeah.
And then Scott comes in and sounds nothing like that.
Right. There's an
like,
accepted
you know,
impression.
Stern does Baba Booey as a boff. I'm about to tell you what guest is coming on. And then Baba Booey comes on and he's just a guy from Long Island. He's like, we got Jimmy Fallon coming in, Howard, in a minute. You know, he sounds nothing like the impression, but yeah.
No, they don't do.
It's an exaggerated version of the person.
They don't do the delicate, tender impressions that we do on the Corinthian. Like Lou Ferrigno. I'm doing good Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah. See, I do not sound anything like Niels right now.
No,
I do
that's
not
true.
Sound anything like.
What are you talking about?
All right. So any of these other shows you want to cover?
I refuse. I refuse. You're an American communist.
All right. Give me a review. Now,
was the wrong Neil song.
The mo.
That's the wrong Neil song.
Yeah.
I wonder if Martin or Niels went and saw Obama in Germany.
I feel like polishing my jock boots right now. Does anyone want to march in a line?
Yeah.
Okay. So give me a yes. The Mole we've had fights about. Do you want to get into the Mole?
Yeah. Well, you know, we are huge Mole fans. And that is the rare example of a reality
show that has
some thought behind it.
Okay. But again, that's a show that's done well.
Yeah.
It's a show you don't have to be embarrassed if you're watching The Mole.
But most reality shows are The Bachelorette. And
I don't like those shows.
Yeah. The Mole is, and here's my problem with The Mole. I hate it because It's Joel and I have both had women wrong. We've been dead flat wrong.
Well,
now Joel insists he's right now. We've both been dead flat nuts wrong about who the mole is all season long.
Well, there's four people left, and we'll find out in like 2 weeks who the
Joel's
mole is.
Joel's guy was executed last week. Yeah. My guy was executed this week. The problem was that I've been on this guy for six fucking weeks.
Your thing is that the people that I've suspected were dumped a little earlier than the guy you've, suspected, but you've also been more emphatic in your, it's 100% this guy.
I've been 110% and on this guy.
Mr. 110% went home this week, Clay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so it actually is working for us in that we are sort of baffled by who the mole is.
Well, we haven't been totally wrong about who was going home until the last 2 weeks.
Sure, yeah.
We've had an idea of who was going to lose.
Right.
But we just haven't had an idea of who the mole was.
Okay, the egg is going to be on our face when the one guy who we say could not possibly be
the mole.
If he turns out to be the mole, then we're embarrassed.
But then I'll hate the show.
That's a guy named Mark, by the way, if you're following
Mark
along.
Mark does nothing but win money for the team.
And he gets pissed off when he loses, and he's very...
Twice he's flipped out because he's a little moody and said, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That's the only times he has done anything. Mm-hmm. The mole is being paid to screw up the rest of the team so that they can't make a bigger pot.
Right. So if he's the mole, he's not doing a very good job of sabotaging.
No, he's a horrible
Is that what
mole.
You're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. But we like the mole. It's a good show. Again, I put that in one of the shows that I
hate it. I am smarter than reality television producers. I know I am. And that's why that show just bothers me. But because they edit it in such a way.
That, yeah, exactly.
It's a,
they do that.
Gimmicky editing.
It is about gimmicky editing.
I think if you
degree.
Were on the set, if you were there in the location... Yeah. It would be much easier to determine who the mole was.
My theory is that probably by now everybody knows who the mole is, and it's just a matter of who completes the quiz the fastest at the end, and then the slowest person leaves.
Yeah.
That might be the case. We'll never know. But I remember a year they did the mole. I think it was year two when they brought back everybody aside from the final three, and they asked them all, and like they were all over the place as to who the mole was, so they didn't really know. Okay, so the mole we like. Celebrity Family Feud.
It's Craig, by the way.
If you say Big Fat Craig on this
Craig's
season,
the mole.
Okay. I'm going with Paul from Yonkers, New York, the utility worker. But...
Douche.
Fucking A. So, again, wind this back in 2 weeks, and one of us... Actually, we're going to both look like assholes if it's Mark.
So, I'm going to hate everybody in the world if it's Mark. All right.
Celebrity Family Feud is good, yes?
Well, in the train wreck sort of way. It's not actually good programming.
In the Dog the Bounty Hunter family versus the Kathy Lee Gifford family way, it was good.
Yeah. When the Deion Sanders family comes out. I don't know if they're going to beat. The very first episode, the very first family was Ice-T's family. And it was Ice-T and his wife Coco, who's like a blonde trophy wife, and his son, Little Ice, who was wearing like some Muslim Rasta shit. And his mother-in-law.
Coco's mama, yeah.
Who was a total MILF. He looked like you're sure that he got some of that.
Yeah.
That cougar stank. And then his friend, Shawnee Sean.
Shawnee Sean.
It was amazing. It was unbelievable. The Ice-T family. You can't beat it.
Okay, so we like...
Ed McMahon, by the way, looking like death itself.
Yeah, Ed McMahon looked real sad on there this week. So
Ed trying to slap the buzzer is one of the greatest things.
Yes, Johnny.
Yeah.
It just... Failing to hit the thing. Twitchy, old man synapses, frazzled, can't think of a clue.
Corey just hoping he dies on the death pool. We have death pool activity. We'll get to that later.
Praying.
Celebrity Family Feud been pretty good. The cast of The Office was funny on there, I thought.
Sure.
The cast of My Name is Earl in character, not so funny.
No, that was
so
bad.
There was for every, you know, for every good showdown, the American
Being
Gladiators.
A comedian is much harder than it looks. I mean, really, people look at me and they laugh.
But for all of those... And you know what else we had last summer was Kid Nation, or maybe that was in the fall. Kid Nation is not coming back.
No, no one liked Kid Nation but us. But
we like Kid Nation. So
that was a terrific show.
All right, I Survived the Japanese Game Show we touched on. Very good for what it is. My problem with it is all the episodes are kind of the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey.
Wow, they're going to do some crazy stuff to us this week.
But I'm a fan of that. Big Brother, quickly, any Big Brother thoughts so far?
Not into it.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't been watching The After Dark, which was kind of a mainstay for me the last season.
Well, there's only been
two
months between Big Brothers.
Yeah, something like
It's too much.
It's a little too much.
I need to have some downtime. But I need to have some me time, some alone time. Too much Big Brother.
Do you like the wrinkle of no secret twists?
Well, that would be fine if they cast interesting people.
Yeah, the cast.
There's no one even remotely interesting. I'm not attracted to any of the women. There's an old man who everybody's going to keep around as a fucking prop. But eventually he's going to have to go.
He was yelling at people the other night, though. He was yelling at the black guy.
I'll tell you what, I didn't land on Incheon and stick a bayonet in a gook to put up with this eating this slop because you couldn't handle a trivia question. And
the black girl complained that he was slow in one of the challenges, which is valid criticism.
Listen here, young negress. In my day, a woman would get in the back of the bus and not beat me in beer pong. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do is take my immunity idol and go to my HOH room and masturbate to my thoughts about Greta Garbo when she was young and pretty.
But if you want a bonus feature, Corey will do that for 80 minutes.
I'll do it. Just keep doing it. He's an old man. I was in the Korean conflict, and there was a police action.
Why don't you take that character and go co-host The Oddest with John Tenney?
Yeah, I could do that. What an old man crankety.
Because that would improve the show.
Oh.
I'm kidding, John. I like John. All right. But no, the girls, there's some girls with nice tits on that show. I'll say that about it.
Takes more than that for me to
there's
care.
There's some girls with nice tits. I enjoy the format of Big Brother. I will say, though, this could be the last one. I could see them just going, we've done it all.
And they
do Celebrity, which was big in the UK when they did it. And they still do Celebrity Big
kind
Brother.
Of the last Big Brother was kind of a big ratings hit.
You're saying the last? No, not the couples one that was on in the spring. No.
And so why did they bring it back that quickly?
They're saying this one, the first season of this current Big Brother 10, was below the one that aired in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I forget, it was down.
The first episode was down from
the first episode of the winter one. And the winter one was down from the first episode of the one from last summer.
Here's the major problem with Big Brother.
Yeah.
There's two major problems. One, they cast dipshits. And the longer Big Brother's on, the dumber the people will get.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the people, you just can't get smart people that want to be on that bullshit.
Okay.
There's other ways to make money, and there's too much of it.
Do you want
to? It's on, what, four nights a week?
It's on three nights a week, and they've actually squeezed it now to where it's Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, where it's like not even, it's like really condensed now. And it's, I think I'm going to stick with it, but I'm not that into it.
It involves a major commitment, and I just can't.
Yeah, it is a commitment. I understand that. Do you want to take a break, or should we do more show? Because, you know, you're hesitant about playing Billy Joel, for one thing. But we've already done way more than half the show, and we've got about 30 minutes left. What do you want to do?
Here we go.
All right, a little more Billy Joel. We'll come back with more show. More TV reviews. Corey's got some movies to review. We got to talk about the Death Pool.
Yeah.
Because we got a big, some big Death Pool activity. So listen to this. If you
enjoy
can.
Enjoy the Stranger, Billy Joel.
Yeah, this is a good song. Get it right the first
1977.
Time.
1977.
Enjoy this.
I hope that looks don't deceive. I ain't got time for true confessions. Gotta make the move right now. Got to meet that girl somehow. Get it right the first time, that's the main thing. Oh, I can't afford to let it pass. You get it right the next time, that's not the same thing. Oh, gonna make the first time live. I never was much good at coming on real strong. But if all it takes is inspiration, then I might have just what it takes. If I don't make no bad mistakes and I get it right the first time, cause that's the main thing. Oh, I can't afford to let it pass. Get it right the next time, that's not the same thing. Oh, gonna make a first time late. La 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 la
How's that sound?
Sounds good.
Little Billy Joel for
you. Sounds like some Joel.
That's right. And I just wanted to mention that Corey and Joel, we have a big audition on the Middle of the Road Rock Station next week. So if you're wondering why we're playing.
There's another one. There's another one from Billy William Joel.
William Joel, yeah.
Yeah.
7:52 in the morning. Corey, let's go to the school closings.
52 after the hour. Yeah, I hate that.
But that sounds like a song we would be outroing, you know, as we're like.
It's 53 minutes after the hour on the Dago and the Schnoz Show. On Detroit's number one power station.
That sounds like a Magic 105.1 here in Detroit would be playing that. And then that would we'd be coming on. You know.
Hey, welcome back. It's 7:53 a.m. That was another Billy Joel classic. Oh, how are you?
We'll be out at the Pet Adopt-a-thon this Saturday afternoon.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know.
Oh, boy. You know, hey, my dog Rex is a great dog, isn't he? Don't you love dogs?
Because, you know, we would like be on a station where we're like, yeah, Corey and Joel, we're going to have a wet T-shirt and rib-eating contest. You know, that's what we would really probably be more inclined to do. But we'll end up getting a job where we have to go.
Yeah. And hey, welcome back to Do Your Own Pap Smear.
yeah, I mean, you know, you and I will be doing appearances.
Ladies, and it's a Women's Health Month, and we're gonna let you check out your vag right here on the radio. Clean out that vag for you. It's Douche Wednesdays. Woo! Wonka, 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 wonka. Dago and the Schnoz.
All right. But speaking of wacky radio, if you want to call in and be part of this wacky show and leave us a TV review, how about 610-552-0746? That's the douchebag hotline, and you can call in and give us your opinion on things, and we'll play it right here on the radio.
Speaking of the mole.
Yeah, I know. Joel, I feel so.
Now there's twice now that Joel and I have been stupid asses.
Yeah.
Okay, on the mole, they had an episode where all the players got massages. And this one girl who everybody was suspecting because she was a bad actress, her massage was chocolate.
She was the only person that got a chocolate massage.
And I said, chocolate is the key ingredient in the sauce mole.
Which is what, Spanish or something?
It's like a Mexican, yeah.
And they were in South America, so there's some sort of tie in
there.
Yeah,
it's a popular South American sauce. It's like pesto, you know, but it's got chocolate in it.
And
I went, mole, bing. Chocolate, there it is. Tie it up, put it in a bundle, and then Joel's like, I got a revelation.
Corey, this past week, they were doing a math problem as part of one of the challenges, and this guy Clay, that Corey was convinced was the mole, going into the show, the answer was 610.
Yeah, they had to figure out sums from a bunch of
questions. They were subtracting years that the city was founded from the year that the first explorers landed there, and the number was 610. And this guy, Clay, was like, it's 610. It's 610. And I said, ooh, now how do I know 610? That's an area code. And I wasn't sure, and I was like, oh, wait, that's the douchebag hotline number. And I remembered that because we have the janky free voicemail line, which is our douchebag hotline, it's actually in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I looked up the hometown of this guy, which is West Grove, Pennsylvania, and its area code, And goddammit, if it wasn't 610, and I'm like, that's the key to the mole, is the area code. 610 is the mole's area code. It must be Clay from West Grove, Pennsylvania.
Right.
Corey is a genius. I should never doubt your... I called you in the middle of the show and went like, Corey, you're right. 610 is the mole.
Just like I was so right about the mole sauce.
Blinkety, blinkety, blankety, blankety. And 10 minutes later, the guy was voted. Was executed from the mole.
But the problem with the mole is it makes you nuts because you start getting paranoid about what did that locker say? What was the number on that locker?
Yeah, you freeze frame it. And like,
that one kid's jersey said 42. Marcus 42. I thought he must be the mole. And then at the end of the show, they do this stupid montage of like all the clues and what the mole was.
And you never picked up
on it. And
they're
all like, if you counted the number of stones that were in this rock garden that they walked through in for 35 seconds.
Yes.
I'm like, you cocksuckers.
Yes.
It's always some ridiculous clues.
Right.
That no one gets.
You can see the mole's name is spelled out in Braille in this pond. You know, what? The fuck?
If you can't, one of these ducks has a feather that's out of place. It's just so annoying.
All right, any of these shows you want to talk about? On Showtime, Secret Diary of a Call Girl. I've been watching that.
Well, you know, she was wearing a sheer shirt.
Yes.
With some pokies the other day.
I've seen her boobies a couple times on that show. Billy Piper, who was a teen pop star in the UK.
That she was.
Before getting a role on Doctor Who, which Corey loves her from.
She was Rose on Doctor Who.
And now she's taking it off on Showtime and banging guys. Although, I have to say, I will applaud.
The show could be better.
Well, here's the thing about the show. It's not as sleazy as like a Red Shoe Diaries. They've tried to weave comedy into it. But it's kind of that British dry sort of humor.
Yeah, they kind of give her a life outside of hooking. And
yeah,
it's,
and you know what? It's
like she's got a boyfriend and no one cares about that storyline.
See, I'm wondering, the show, they put enough humor and actual content in it where you can't beat off to it, I think. And to me, that's a negative. And yet at the same time, it's good that it's a show you can watch even if you don't want to beat off. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it's hard to
because I would sit there and go like, well, this is a show I could turn it on. Like, you know, if you're watching like Real Sex or something, if you're not beaten off to it, I feel like that show's no good. Or Cat House or something.
Real Sex,
And he was probably masturbating with great.
You can't watch one of
those. Yeah, like if I had already just rubbed one out and Real Sex came on, there's no.
Here's the problem with Real Sex. Yeah. They'll do a good segment about, you know, I don't know, some coffee shop where the girls strip.
Yeah.
Right. Or some, you know, whatever the kind of stuff they do in Real Sex. Then they'll have, like, the masturbation class.
Uh-huh.
And they'll go, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
And then the, like, 65-year-old woman breaks out the gray pubes. You know, and then you gotta die inside.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have, it's a swingers party. And then there's always some behemoth she-beast, or there's some hairy, some guy that looks like me naked.
Yeah.
And it kills the boner.
Right.
It's like boner softener.
Right.
Real Sex never just has... I'm super hot, and I'm going to play with my vagina for like 20 minutes while we
talk. Yeah.
It's always some crazy
They never
stuff.
Go to the college dorm. They always go to like the retirement home or something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
After shuffleboard, we do tantric sex.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, in Korea, we learned some crazy things.
They always pretend like something is the new trend. Like, oh, painting with a paintbrush up your ass has swept the nation. And you're like, what? What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's,
you know what I mean? It's always
some bizarre
weird,
fetish
yeah,
that
like,
no one
else. Yeah.
What's the one where they cover themselves with food?
Yeah, like.
Splurging. What do they call it?
I don't know, but it's like they pretend like that's
these
a new.
These chicks like to rub mashed potatoes on their tits.
They basically placed a Craigslist ad, found two people who were willing to do that for $100, and then put it on TV like that's the biggest deal in
the
world.
So many times it's like couples therapy and like workshops. And you're like, look, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I got to bang the same girl all the time, okay? I don't need to watch a guy who's banging the same girl all the time.
Because Real Sex isn't even a show. That's not even like a new show for summer, but that's just sort of what the Call Girl show could be compared
to.
Right,
I am HBO deprived for the first time in many years, and I have Showtime.
God, you're not missing much now.
Yeah, there's not much on.
You know what was good was the Roman Polanski documentary that was on there, which was actually quite good. I watched that. But you're not missing much as far as the series right now.
Much, no.
And Showtime picked up Inside the NFL, so you'll get to watch
that. Oh, really?
Yeah. That's going to be on
HBO
Showtime.
HBO shit can that, huh?
Yeah, they cut it for budgetary reasons. Now, they got a whole new staff of guys, like James Brown's going to do it
now,
instead of
Do they still have that Real Sports with Brian Gumbel?
They still have that.
Because they had some sports content.
They do. They have some. Yeah, they have that, but they got rid
boxing.
Of Inside the NFL. They have their boxing. But you're not missing much. Showtime has Elite XC, so Showtime's doing good. In fact, they have a new season. It's not a new show, but Penn & Teller Bullshit Season 6 I've been enjoying.
It's been good. Yeah,
I've been. I enjoyed the one with the
dolphins.
The dolphins was
that
good.
Was good.
The one where it was like alternative medicine, where they were plunging guys' backs.
Yeah,
and that was entertaining. Yeah. And this, did you see the one on sleep that they did last week?
Not yet.
It's great because what they did is they found the world's fattest guy, and said like, who can't get a good night's sleep, and they sent him to Vegas to a mattress convention. And then meanwhile, the fat guy decided to go to the buffet and gamble and go to the strip club. And, like, still couldn't fall. It's just real funny.
All right, I got to watch it.
You got to watch it. You're sold. I don't want to spoil it, but it's great. Okay, Penn and Teller Bullshit is good if you got Showtime.
The dolphin one was amazing because these people were charging, like $2,000 a head to get in touch with your inner dolphin spirit. And I said, this is the last time I do the Corey and Joel radio show because I am going to start teaching people about their dolphin. I will, look, Corey and Joel radio will become the Finding Your Spirit Animal podcast. If you people want to pay $2,000 a head.
There's got to be a dolphin podcast out there. There has to be.
And they said like 30 people had done it.
Oh, I know. It's ridiculous.
What are you fucking talking about? Your there's not even a dolphin there.
Yeah.
They don't even have to pay for a dolphin. They just go to some hippie's fucking house in Key West.
Yeah.
And they sit around and they rub some chants and some oils
on
each other.
They play dolphin music.
And they play some play dolphin music?
Yeah.
Fuck me! What is
that?
Yeah,
that's kind of what Penn said on the show.
Oh, my God.
Another show on Showtime, which I've only seen one episode of. It's something called...
You a-hole.
Just thinking about that fucking dolphin guy.
Do I even have the title right? Is it called Why Am I Still Single on Showtime?
It's called The Biggest Waste of Time You've Ever Done. This show's amazing. It's actually kind of amazing.
You explain the premise.
It is this guy who's an actor and a director who's made about 5 movies in his life.
What was the big movie?
Here's his big movie. Okay, this guy's name.
You're still not going to know it.
What is this guy's name? Eric Schaefer.
Yeah, Eric Schaefer.
Here's the guy's big film that he wrote and directed. If Lucy Fell. That's the big.
I was going to call it When Lucy Fell. I don't even know the name of it.
Yeah, it's called If Lucy Fell. You're correct. Jessica Parker.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Okay.
That's his big fucking movie.
And he made 8 other movies you never heard of.
He made an indie movie in the late 90s that no one ever saw.
Right.
So he's going on a book tour.
Yeah.
Because he wrote a book about why he was still single. Uh-huh. And he was opening up about the problems in his life. Because that's another racket, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, finding dolphin chakra. I like it. I like it. I can do it. But I'm going to write a stupid memoir about my time eating burritos with Joel in a bedroom inferno.
The 3 years wasted of your life.
And then we went and met with Craig Schwab at Champs. And I had a salad and Joel got chicken fingers. I mean, you know, that's what you got to write.
I think I had a chicken sandwich, but not to impeach the credibility of your novel, Corey.
Okay.
But
I don't remember what Schwab had. That's what I should have remembered.
You know what we ate a line of bullshit.
Yeah, you know we ate crow.
All right,
we both got a big plate of crow.
Thank you, Mr. Schwab.
Oh lordy,
we liking to be doing 97.1 for no money. Thank
absolutely.
You,
absolutely.
We be liking to be on CBS Radio.
I don't think you look at all like Opie Taylor.
No, people say you don't know programming. But you clearly adept at your job.
The guy still works in the industry.
Well, I know, but
off Schwabby.
The guy was 3 weeks from getting fired, and he decided to hire us.
He was. No, hold on. He was a good 8 weeks from getting fired when he brought us in.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, remember? Because he met with us like twice, and then we twiddled our dicks for 6 months.
Yeah, well, after he met with us, we waited a while to get on the air. But I think after we went on the air, he was out of there in 3 weeks. If I remember correctly.
Two.
Yeah, he was out of
two,
there
because we were waiting for him to call back.
Okay.
Anyway. Recapping our failed radio career.
If you watch Why Am I Still Single, within 2 minutes you go, well, this is a 50-year-old pothead or a cokehead. The guy's just a loser.
He's in his 40s.
He's an asshole.
He's a douche.
He's an asshole.
Okay, and you didn't even see the pilot.
No.
The premise is he's on this book tour. He's got this young assistant chick who's got to endure every indignity from this asshole. He in the pilot, the very first scene, he's on his knees with a dominatrix with a strap-on dildo. He's like, am I not going to be able to get jobs because I'm sucking a dick on TV?
Right.
Like, okay, good night. Good.
Right.
And then he's like hitting on chicks on MySpace. It's kind of fascinating.
Well,
it's in the level of douchiness of this guy.
Well, the problem with it to me is that like he's the guy, like he's documenting his own life. It's not like somebody said, oh, this guy's interesting, let's follow him around.
Right.
He basically hired a crew and said, hey, follow me around, and I'm going to be this entertaining single swinging guy.
Yeah.
And he's, like, calling up chicks he meets on MySpace.
Yeah, it's really...
trying to arrange dates. And it's just
you
like...
You are the leading asshole in the state.
I mean, look, I could do that fucking show.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going up to the bar meeting chicks. You know what I mean? That
I'd love to see your show.
You want to see my dating show?
God, that would,
well, I told you what happened last night.
I would pick that up in a big way. Nothing happened last night.
No, yeah. But I mean, you know, yeah. So, yeah, that would be part of it.
Yeah. I would sell the show in which Amy and I sit around and watch Iron Chef.
Yeah, but I would watch. I would watch that show.
No one would watch us.
And
you
could watch
give each
my
other
show.
Zerberts for an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, get, no, could, this, but this Eric Schaefer.
You could watch me give a juggalette a back rub for 90 minutes.
Well, you know, there are people who would pay for that online.
While watching Wild Boys.
Sure.
On MTV.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was not fun. I mean,
guys, we're going to start our first contest in a long time.
What's that?
Get Joel laid, for Christ's
sake.
It's going to be blow Joel's nut. That's what we need to have. Some girl needs to get Joel's nut off because we're getting into critical. It's getting critical.
Oh, would you stop it?
We're
no.
talking me.
Listen, you're going out on your own. You're
the
I'm
summer
not-
of 2005 for me was rough.
What?
We're in that situation.
No,
for
no,
this is bad
no,
territory.
We're not actually. You don't even know, but you think you do.
I don't even know.
You think you know, but you have no idea.
Well, you're getting your nut off
this
more than
real
this
story.
Idiot Eric Schaefer. This why am I still single guy? Why yeah. is this show got? Why did the show get picked up?
I don't even know. I watched it once, and then it came out again, and I'm like, ah, fuck all
He's
this.
Got this whole bit where he like opens up the hood of the car so he can pee and act like he's like doing something with the car. Because he's afraid, he's paranoid cops are going to pull him over
right.
for peeing. Even though he's in the middle of the
you
desert.
Could, you could almost call the show, we just found some random asshole. Here's his life. Because there's nothing really, the guy's not funny.
He thinks he's funny.
He's not talented.
He thinks he is the funniest
His interactions
guy.
With people isn't really interesting.
They're all, you know what it is? It's all people just being like, what a douche.
Yeah, it's kind
of
like.
It's really a
yeah.
series of people being uncomfortable with this douche. He makes Greg Barrett look like you know your best friend. I mean, the guy you want to hang out with all day.
My problem with Greg Barron is I'm just not that into him.
Really, I mean,
but you
either.
Know,
yeah.
Thank you, boy. If you got that joke,
thank you.
Why you do wah wah wah? That was a good joke.
It was a good bit.
It was a good joke.
It was good. That was a good bit.
All I try to do is do good jokes. And when I do them, you heckle.
Because I just told a joke
and
see, I'm funny.
I know that was a good. Day.
I'm gonna set up a goddamn funny box and heckle your ass all day.
I got
two computers now, pal. That's
fine. It was a high class.
I'm a patch cord away from calling you a fat asshole for 80 minutes.
All I'm saying is, all
right,
I'm just not into his douchey haircut. All right.
Let's go into a couple more.
I could do another hour on why am I still single. It's maybe the most captivating, like. Why is this guy alive? You'll ever see in your life. It's horrible. It hurts your soul.
How about a new title? Why is this guy on my television?
Yeah. It's awful. Ugh.
All right. What about The Gong Show with Dave Attell? I know we both watched the first episode of
The
Gong
Show. I kind of enjoyed it.
I did too. I thought the show has some issues as far as the pacing of it. It didn't have any flow. Did you notice how choppy it seemed?
Do you remember like how the old Gong Show was?
Yeah.
It was choppy.
It was, but it was fun, though. It seemed
it's
like...
It's a very difficult thing to pull off. What they're trying to do, the old Gong Show had just utter chaos.
Yeah.
This is what's going on.
It was controlled chaos, yeah.
This show is a little seedier,
yeah.
almost. They got, like, the celebrities are even sleazier.
Sure.
On the old Gong Show, there's a lot of leering, like, hey, whoa, yeah. whoa look at me. You know, and Paul Williams, and he
right.
Paul Williams gave me itches just looking at that blonde, ruddy little fuck.
Yeah,
just ruined my life. But J.P. Morgan playing with her tits was, you know, it was good stuff.
I always felt the old Gong Show was the judges and Chuck Barris together kind of made the show.
Yeah.
The entertaining part was their reaction to whatever bullshit was going on yeah. stage.
And they gonged everything.
In this first show, they only gonged one act, the first
right.
act, which wasn't even... It was a bad rock band, but it wasn't yeah. the worst thing you ever saw. And then, you know, and then they gave, like, Andy Dick leeway to, like, when the guests would be done, like, Andy Dick would just go feel up the girl or something. Mm. You know, it was just like...
They need to have a separation between the two with all the judges. Because,
yeah.
like, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog
right.
is not going to leave the bench and go over and wrestle.
But do you know what I'm saying? There needs to be a... Not a literal wall, but there needs to be a separation between the judges and the axe. If the judges are going to put down the axe, they can't act as dumb
as
the axe.
They would do that on the Gong Show sometimes. Like, Jamie Farr would go over and grab the cue cards and show them to the guy.
That's true.
They would do some of that
kind of stuff. Right, yeah.
There would be a little interaction. And, you know, they'd go over and hug the guy or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I hear what you're saying. Because now it's like, we just did an act, but now Andy Dick has to go and fart on top of this guy's face.
Yeah. But, and the thing about Barris that was so great, and Attell, I think, did this a little bit. It's hard to tell after one episode if he's doing the same angle. If a guy came out, right, and, you know,
like
he was...
came out of the closet.
Well, if a guy comes out on stage, like, and he decides he's going to play Yankee...
Niels came out.
Okay, look, can I please tell this story? If a guy comes out, and he decides he's going to play Yankee Doodle Dandy on a Matchbox, you know, and he gets gonged, Chuck Barris will walk up to him as left... Chuck Barris has no idea. Like, he goes to the guy, like, what do you think happened there? Why do you feel like... Like, he really gives him a genuine interview about, like, why do you think it went horribly wrong? Meanwhile, the guy had no shot. And then sometimes the guys are
But meanwhile,
kooky.
Chuck Barris booked the guy.
Right.
And knew he sucked.
Right,
gong.
But Barris always
and
had this...
Barris was the biggest cockamamie bullshit actor.
Barris didn't talk down to them, in a sense. Barris was very much reverential of these bad acts and going, like, well, what happened there?
How do you think Attell went? Trying to be like
that.
Right.
And that's
bit.
What I'm saying. Attell did a little bit of that. And Attell's just a funny guy anyway.
Sure.
I mean, Attell's funny. I mean, put a camera on Attell, I'm watching it. You know what I mean? But I feel like he was a little, he's a little handcuffed by the format, too.
It's hard for him to be a nice guy.
Yeah.
Dave Attell doesn't really want to, he wants to make fun of everything.
It was great when he just sat on a stool and started smoking a cigarette at one point. That was fun.
They'll get reaction shots of him. You know what? It's kind of worth a laugh. It's worth a. My thing with it is, where are they going to get acts? They're gonna kind of run out of acts.
There's so many shows. Yeah,
I don't know. The old Gong Show never ran out of acts.
Well, they also threw on. You know, the couple of phony acts that they dropped the curtain on and stuff. They did that a couple of times. We're out of time, and it was, you know. Yeah, so it was. It's passable.
It was a noble effort.
It's passable. I mean, Attell was good on there, and the judges.
When are they doing the new $1.98 beauty pageant?
You know what? I'm telling you, I'm the host of that motherfucker. Because I've hosted shows at the Gathering of the Juggalos, not dissimilar to the $1.98 beauty pageant.
Yeah.
All right, quickly, Reality Bites Back. Did you see any of that?
About 5 seconds here and was not captivated.
Okay, my thing with that is, you know, each half, they have a bunch of comedians you've never heard of. And you've probably only heard of them, not that you've heard of us, but you would hear of them because they were people who basically got rejected from Last Comic Standing.
You'd be a real insider to know some of these guys. Yeah.
And they go on and they do these parodies of reality shows, each one a different one each week.
Mm-hmm.
And my thing is the parodies are funny. Like, they have So You Think You Can Dive.
Right.
And they're going to dive off a diving board instead of dance and get judged.
Okay.
But, okay, that's funny. Like, you tell me you think you can dive and that's funny. But there's 29 minutes and 55 seconds left after I've told you. You know what I mean? And
I saw they were doing a kind of I Love New York.
Okay.
But it was the girl who was in Borat who played the hooker.
Okay.
That would look kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, so they're doing
these
parodies.
She was the girl they were all supposed to be.
They're good parodies. I don't know that the show has, if you can really watch it for 30 minutes. I didn't get through the first episode all the
way. It seems like it's real stagey and foggy. And
but, you know, I mean, it's a parody of reality shows. I feel reality shows are so dumb that they don't really need parody.
You know the show I liked that apparently no one watched at all?
What was that?
It was called Free Radio. Did you see Free Radio?
You know, you told me about it, and I don't think I could ever find it again, and then I, like, never saw it.
It was on VH1, and they ran them all for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It must have been a month where they just were, like, blowing out Free Radio left and right. That show was semi-improvised. It seemed like the celebrities came in and didn't know what was going on.
Sure.
And the guy just was a fake DJ.
Really?
But then they would do scripted stuff. You know, like...
Yeah.
And then you felt like some of the celebrities had to be in on it.
Right, right.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of that, fake scripted stuff with real radio people, there's an animated show on PBS called Click and Clack as the Wrench Turns.
Oh, boy.
With Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, Tom and Ray Magliozzi from the NPR show, which is...
Don't drive like my brother!
I forget who does Tom and who does Ray, but I do the guy...
I think I do Ray.
I do the guy's like, ooh, do you need to bring groceries back? Ooh.
Well, you've done it again. You wasted another hour listening to Cop. Anyway.
It's a good show, but they sort of have done a Family Guy animated series with them. And
well, it looks kind of like the Clerks cartoon animation.
Okay, yeah, a little bit, sure.
And just one... The appeal of of car talk is that people call up and go, yeah, I've got a 86 Nissan Altima. And you're like, why do you have that piece of shit car? Like, people will call up and they'll just have the most ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a 1990 Mercure. Really? And why is it when you're amazed? Ooh. Why is it driving? Ooh.
I've got a theory on that.
Right. And then they'll be like, and there's a rattle in the gas tank. Mm. Well, what's happening is condensation is caused.
Well, they shtick the answer for a minute. You've got a rattle. Yeah. Are you sure your kid has not left his toy in your gas tank? You know, and they'll do that for
a
minute.
But then when it's occasionally miraculous when they'll come up with some answer about what the car's doing. And then a lot of it's just them being goofy.
But the great thing about that is, like, they solve these car problems and you're like, wow, these guys are geniuses. Meanwhile, you don't really know if they solve the car problem.
You don't.
Because, you know, the people just go away and they're like, problem solved and let's move on.
Call us back.
Yeah, and then you never hear back.
But on the cartoon, it's all scripted.
Yeah.
And they're not that fascinating that I need to, because they're not just doing their own stuff.
Yeah. They do the phony call-in show where an actor calls in and they give funny answers.
They're kind of straight men
to
a bunch of wacky stuff that's going on around them in a cartoon.
Right.
Al Gore was in the one that we watched.
Oh, really? Okay.
I
didn't watch enough of
it. I watched the full segment of that. They get an SUV that's so big it changes the greenhouse in their garage.
Oh, okay.
And so Al Gore comes and rescues them.
That's on PBS of all fucking places, I don't know why.
Yeah, well.
Apparently those guys can't get a real gig. They're on NPR and PBS.
Well, I think that's
not
why.
Not that they don't get paid for those.
No, but that's why they ended up on PBS.
Yeah, but.
It's all in the family.
Don't you think aren't there 8 billion how-to channels? And aren't guys always, you know, changing a transmission somewhere on TV?
Why change their brand, though? The NPR people are obviously the same people who watch PBS.
So do you think they have this old white audience on PBS or on NPR and they just keep it?
They got the same, same people.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. All right, that's good. I could see them on the Speed Channel, but you know what? Hey.
Speaking of the Speed Channel.
Oh, another new show.
It's another show that
a friend of mine is on.
I would have never watched that.
Yeah.
Alonzo Bowden is on there, who's a big comedian, and Joel had worked with before, and... he's got a show called The 101 Cars You Must Drive, which was strangely interesting.
Yeah.
One, I didn't know Alonzo was that big of a car nut.
He is. He's a gearhead.
And that show is all improvised, and it's just him. He goes and he takes, like, classic cars.
Yeah.
Like, he was driving an Acura NSX, which was in Pulp Fiction, and then he was driving a...
he did the cars of Pulp Fiction, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he did a Chevy Nova and a VW Bug, and he drove all these cars. It was cool.
Yeah.
And he talked about, you know... what the history of the car,
right.
what happened in the market when it was made.
And he doesn't always drive good cars. He drives junkers, too.
Yeah.
And
he
it's funny.
He drove a Corvair.
Yeah. He drives some of the worst cars ever made
as
well.
But he said, the Corvair got a bad rap. It was a better car than it.
But I saw him driving this little Fiat, and then some, like, he drove some car with, like, some Russian car, where he literally, he's such a big guy, he had to drive with his head out of the sunroof.
Yeah.
Because he was too tall. It was a funny show. I mean, it's not
I'm
like...
I'm sure he's
going
to do the Nash...
I don't know what the Nash is.
The Nash Rambler. Or the Gremlin.
Okay, that's a possibility.
I
got to
get a Gremlin on there.
Yeah. So that's actually not a bad show.
Or the Pacer. Was the big bubble car, wasn't it?
The Pacer
they
and
had
the...
that big bubble
okay,
rear
the
end.
Pacer and the Gremlin are the same car, except the Pacer is round and the Gremlin is sharp.
Right.
In its features.
Right. The Pacer had the big bubble glass back end.
There you go. Take that information.
Hey-o!
You are now a genius at old
those,
70s
those were
shitty
both
cars.
AMC.
Yes.
American.
You want to do a couple movie reviews? We got 5 minutes left if you can squeeze these in.
I have
a couple movies here that I think you've seen.
Yeah, okay.
You want to talk about the new X-Files? I Want to Believe.
Wow, I would like to believe that was a movie. But it was like two episodes of CSI.
Yeah.
Fuck-knuckled together into an unending tedium.
Really?
And I liked X-Files.
Yeah.
I was an X-Files fan.
Okay.
I'm familiar with the characters and the setup and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like the story. If you're going to make a motion picture, give me a big monster or an alien or something.
Okay.
And that show was known for having crazy, weird monsters and genetic freaks and, you know, guys that would drain the blood out of your body. So, they got a premise, and there's like, but it's a lame. It's like something that could almost happen. It's not that exciting,
right?
And you got to watch Duchovny and Gillian Anderson walk around and be depressed. It's just so bad. Like, why did they make this?
I think the next Files is what happened to Gillian Anderson's looks. Is that what they're looking for?
She
in the
doesn't
next
look
one?
Bad.
Okay, but I'm saying the next.
They
one.
Do nothing to make her like she's in like scrubs in the hospital, and then. Then she's in a big parka because it's in the wintertime. They don't do anything to like make her look good.
I think they should have given her a little bit of sex appeal.
The last shot of the movie is them riding away on a boat, but they shoot it from a helicopter, and she's in a bikini, so you wouldn't know.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, did the X-Files movie suck?
Oh, wow, that's too bad. Okay. Is the X-Files movie no good?
What
about Step Brothers with Will Ferrell?
Now, Step Brothers.
And the guy who takes all of the Will Ferrell roles that Will Ferrell doesn't
John
take.
John C. Reilly.
Well, how's that?
I will tell you what. Together, those guys are magic.
Really?
The Dewey Cox story.
Walk Hard.
Suffered a little bit.
Not that good.
Walk Hard could have been better.
Yep.
Some of the Dylan stuff was great, but it could have been better.
Mm-hmm.
The last Will Ferrell movie, Semi-Pro, was a big bottle of...
Semi-watchable.
Yeah. It's a big bottle of mediocre. This is very, very funny.
Okay.
For a good hour.
How many fingers? Look at you.
I would give that a 3 fingers.
3 fingers?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 3 finger. It's hilarious. And they get to the point where they start doing the same. They lap the jokes.
Do they?
They start going, you're going, okay, I got it. Move it along.
Yeah.
And it stretches on for a good 20 minutes too long.
To me, the trailer, look, I don't know enough about it, but from the trailer, it's... two guys in their 40s acting like they're teenagers.
Yes.
How close did I get?
You were very close. But it's actually funny in the movie.
Okay.
First of all, they swear a lot, they're not going to get in the trailer. And their dad is great. The dad is this actor, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he played the dad on 6 Feet Under.
Okay.
And he was in a movie earlier this year that a lot of people liked called The Visitor.
Okay.
This guy's hilarious. He plays he marries Mary Steenburgen. They're like both professors, or he's a doctor, she's a professor. It's great for about an hour, and then you're done with the jokes.
All right.
Like he's got a collection of old hustlers, like up in their tree fort.
Yeah.
And John C. Reilly's like, it's like masturbating in a time machine. there's funny stuff in there. They got Chewbacca masks. They actually really nail like being 12.
All right.
They're dead nuts accurate. I just don't think they can do that again.
Okay.
Like, how many times can Will Ferrell be a child man?
Right, yeah.
He's got to do something different from this
point. Like, Elf and
old
he's school
done,
and
he's got to move on from that and do something a little different.
Sure.
But this was very funny for an hour.
Okay. So that was good. Anything else? I got about a minute here. Minute or 2 minutes. What do you got?
No.
Anything else worth talking about?
I think we'll save...
We're going to review... Oh, I just want to tell everybody that... if you want, we will be reviewing Dark Knight on YouTube. So look forward to that. I'll have that up on the main page probably maybe a little later than you're getting this show. But
yeah,
it'll be up within a day or so or 2 days. So we'll have a review of Dark Knight. Now, I know you're on the edge of your seat because there hasn't been a goddamn negative review of Dark Knight anywhere.
Yeah, I know that you're on the edge of your seat because Dark Knight made $187 million. I might make it a spoiler-heavy review.
You know, I was thinking about that.
Why don't we make it a spoiler review?
Because I have some issues with some of the... Well,
first of all,
it'll all be on YouTube.
It made almost $200 million, which means that every American has
kind of seen it, yeah.
So, spoiler review. And
maybe we'll do a point where it becomes a spoiler, and then you can stop your YouTube, and you can watch, you know, a kitty cat play with a roll of toilet paper. You know, you could stop it there and then go on to something else.
You can watch Bill Bonds have a racist tirade on a news clip. Yeah, it's good.
Actually, you know, did you see Golden Fiddle? We'll end on this. But in memoriam of, we have to mention that the Siskel and Ebert show, a show that we
that
love,
is over.
Is now over, and there was a retrospective of Siskel and Ebert fighting with one another.
I love that story.
And when they go to McDonald's, that story is
there
real
is
funny.
There is a great one where they get in a big fight about... They yelling at each other and calling each other assholes, and then they bond because they're like Siskel was a Jew and Ebert was a Catholic, and they're like, "Fuck the WASPs, fuck those guys."
But it's great when Gene goes to McDonald's and says that Roger is going to have one on everything of the menu for here, and then one on everything of the menu to go. It was a great one. Anyway, let's play more Billy Joel.
Oh, and congratulations, Estelle Getty.
Oh, Death Pool. I got Estelle Getty, as did Sean Stone. One more death will put me in a lead, or at least a tie for the lead with Corey. But it's very close because Rob Rose is nipping on our heels. So anyway, folks, thanks for listening.
Billy Joel.
Listen to this. This is a great song from Billy Joel. I love this.
Why are we playing Billy Joel again? What's going on?
Scenes from an Italian restaurant, baby. Come on. An all-time
Next
classic.
Next week, Marvin Hamlisch will be our theme music.
You don't want to play the theme from The Sting?
Yeah.
All right.
Another Day in Shanghai from John Denver next week.
Good night, everybody.
Perhaps a bottle of rosé. stand. Get a table near the stream in our old home.